Both of those companies I just mentioned are producers, not explorers and developers. These are two small silver producers. That's what you want to be buying, I think, right now. Not just the majors like Pan American, which we own a lot of, but like, you know, things like this, where they're going to be 3, 4, 5, 6 million ounce producers per year and take people by surprise. You're going to see, you know, a lot of uranium stocks fly because the juniors haven't done much of anything. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. I'll name a few of the juniors that we've been kind of interested in and meeting with.
John, what's going on?
Hey, Andy, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's really good to see you here. Lots of stuff going on. Let's talk first gold and silver. It's on a tear, or I should say we were on a tear. We pulled back and now we've got a really good bounce up. I think it has to do with some soft economic data. What say you?
That's definitely part of it. If you look at the non-farm payrolls read we had May 3, you know, that was pretty significant. I put that out to my followers, you know, 1 minute after that came out. We have a real-time update service that people like because, you know, it's newsletters are all good and everything. I have one myself, but if you have to wait, you know, 2 weeks for that information to come out or even a week, it can really mean a lot in this kind of market where things are starting to move so quickly, right? So non-farm payrolls were light. That was a plus. You know, CPI is May 15th. We'll see how that looks. But clearly we're still far enough from the Fed's 2% objective that, you know, Powell has been really beating the drum on the last 3 or 4 meetings about this, which was we identified as a change in behavior. You know, we were leaning November, December into this idea of 5 rate cuts in 2024. We called that as sort of BS. And then basically we saw a lot of banks drop to 4 cuts. And, you know, in January that could have looked possible, but now it's not possible. Right. So the positive takeaway for your listeners is that gold and silver are ripping without rate cuts. Like, this is really bullish and not really different from a lot of history. If you look at past rallies for gold, it was not necessarily on the first cut. You know, it's before it can sometimes happen before the first cut. So, you know, we've been encouraging people to stop getting really cute with entry points and just start buying some things. And I've had many conversations with my clients about this at the conference last week that I did in DC, but also just on numerous phone calls in February, March, April here to say, you know, whoever's downgrading Newmont at 29 needs to check themselves. You know, like, I mean, this is just unbelievable, right? It's like, go look at Newmont's earnings, April 25 or whatever day it was, fast forward, you know, just 6-7 weeks. I mean, they just killed it and the stock responded.
Yeah. Interesting you say that too, because I actually, in my circle, if you would, we become less, and it's kind of scary for me, we become less concerned about entry points, and it's in just of like accumulate on any kind of weakness, if you would. We still accumulate, we don't chase, but we still accumulate on weakness, if that makes sense. But we're playing
it. You're getting that. Because if you look at what's happened with gold and silver, you know, the producers like MUX, Pan American, Newmont, they've all done really well. Those charts are not like unbuyable at all. They've just rallied a lot. So why don't you dip down into the mid tiers or to the junior stuff that no one's tracking at all? Like Guanajuato Silver, we talked about in your last show, they since did an $11 million, you know, financing. That's not going to help the share price, right? But that's a buying opportunity. If you can understand that they're doing 1 million ounces of silver per quarter, that gets them at 4 million probably this year on an annual basis. You know, they're approaching that magic 4 to 6 million kind of ounces per year kind of range, which gets you a lot of interest from majors and obviously just, you know, making some real money for shareholders.
Yeah, sure. So about all that, do you think you'll see a lot more buyouts here in the next several months?
Well, since we were last on your show, we saw Treasury Metals do that deal in Canada. I thought that was interesting because they really needed more strategic investors on their lineup, right? And then they brought in Frank Giustra through this acquisition. So that's pretty smart of Jeremy and his team. It didn't pick up a lot of ounces for them. I think, you know, they only picked up maybe 700,000 ounces of gold, but that's 3.7 million ounces of gold now, not 3 million. And I think that company they acquired had 8 or 9 million in cash, if I'm not mistaken. So that you know, bolsters their cash position, which gives, you know, investors like you and I more confidence that they're not going to do another raise right after this one, right? Like they're in a pretty decent position right now. We like companies like that have a lot of ounces in the ground and are trying to get to production. Whether or not they get there, who knows? But I'm telling you, at 14 or 15 cents US where it is today, it's worth a lot more. You know, companies are willing to pay premiums for companies like this. And so I do see more M&A activity this year. We've already seen quite a bit, you know, year to date.
Yeah. I had a question with the Vendus bond a few times, and that deal happened. And I just,
that surprised me actually. I was a shareholder of both and I didn't see that marriage, but I think it helps SBM, Silvercorp. And I think, you know, Adventus shareholders will be happy with Silvercorp because Silvercorp is, you know, in China heavily, but they also have Bolivian exposure. They've got exposure in Chile and Peru through Aftermath Silver. They've got a whole bunch of things going on. Very low AISC, I might add. You know, when you look at cost per ounce, that's important. Look at what First Majestic put out this week, right? $21.50 or $22.86, not great. Stock really didn't respond much until today. And when you look at SVMs, it's not half, but it's significantly lower at around 11 or 12, right? So, yeah. You know, you just have to look at that profit margin. And when you see that ability to print money, think about it, not at 27 silver, but think about it at 30 or 35 silver, and what that means to both companies.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. You really do have to look at the profit margin and what's the cost of getting it out of the ground and what are they producing silver at? About that deal, I wasn't expecting it, but I was expecting a takeover and I was a shareholder. And Christian was a stand-up guy. I thought, and I've only spoke to him a few times in this kind of setting, but I guess what I like the deal, well, everything that you said, I mean, I don't think there's a loser in that. I mean, Silvercorp gets, they're getting out of less lowering their Chinese exposure, if you had their exposure in China, right, which I thought they had to do. And then that mine's going to get built with some really deep pockets and the shareholders, they don't get diluted. So it's hard for me to see.
It's a win. It's a win for both companies. And again, that concept of buying the dips, right?